Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. We've all heard the famous love passage from 1 Corinthians 13 at weddings, but can love inform the way we invest? Hi, I'm Rob West. I'll explore this concept today with our friend and certified Kingdom advisor, Rachel McDonough. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always a treat to have Rachel McDonough with us. Rachel's a certified financial planner and a certified Kingdom advisor, and she's a leader in the field of helping investors integrate their Christian values with their investment decisions. Rachel, great to have you back with us.
Hey, thanks so much. Glad to be here.
Rachel, you've shared your perspective on faith-based or what you might call faith-driven investing, but today I know you'd like to help us look at how love can influence our investing. How are those two things different?
Yeah, that's right, Rob. They're definitely related, but there have been many things done in the name of faith. Some have been very powerful and positive, but some have even been more political in nature, especially lately. So my husband, who rarely thinks about investing, he and I have been following the boycott on Bud Light and some other brands recently, as well as just the general conservative pushback against more liberal shareholder activism that's been happening. It's really a fascinating season where we've seen 682 shareholder proposals filed for annual meetings to be held before May 31st. So there's really just a rise in activism in general. And just a lot of political things that are happening with corporations. Now, I am very thankful for the men and women of God who are called into politics and that can have a righteous influence in that arena. But we have to remember back to when the Israelites were waiting for the Messiah to come. They, of course, were expecting him to come as a strong military and political leader that would bring about deliverance from Rome. But in Luke 17:1, Jesus reveals his radical concept that the kingdom of God is within us and that a lot of what God is really after is our hearts. So a few weeks ago, I read some familiar passages that really sparked a new line of thinking for me, or maybe just some additional clarity. So let me just read a couple of verses quick. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love is, in fact, what Paul describes as the most excellent way."
Yes.
And then in 1 Corinthians 16:14, Paul reminds us that everything we do should be done in love. And it seems that love should provide us with guidance on how to steward our resources, including how to invest. So that was really kind of a new thought and very clarifying for me. And as God's agents in the world, his stewards, we must be careful to invest his resources that he entrusts to us in a manner worthy of our calling, and his standard of excellence in all things is love.
Wow, it sounds like a logical conclusion to me, Rachel, but I'd love for you to take it one step further and help us connect the dots. You know, typically we think of investing as more transactional in nature. How can we display love in our investing?
Yeah, we, of course, have heard on this show before the simple framework of avoid, embrace, and engage. Avoiding companies that are not in alignment with our values, that are not blessing humanity, embracing those that do, and then utilizing asset managers who can actively engage with companies that they select for investment on our behalf behind the scenes.
Yes.
So there's, of course, a lot of nuance in terms of how this gets done, but in general, we want to avoid companies that kill, steal, and destroy. Those are listed in John 10 as the works of the enemy. So we don't want to entrust the master's resources to the campaigns of his enemy while he's away, at a minimum. That would not be loving. And after the break, I want to give us a specific example about how this can work with S&P 500 type of investing.
Oh, that's really great. Yeah, I want to dive into those specifics and really talk about the options that are available for an investor who wants to take a more intentional and what you call loved-based approach, how you can be involved in this movement, and what types of investment products are available in this whole area of faith-based investing, which is growing rapidly. And that's a really exciting thing. So you can align your convictions as a believer with your deployment of capital. capital through your investments. I'm joined today by my good friend Rachel McDonough, certified financial planner and certified Kingdom advisor. Much more to come just around the corner. And then your questions at 800-525-7000. Stick around. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. In the month of June, it seems like many individuals are talking about love. You might see billboards or commercials with statements like love wins or love is love, but is that what the world celebrates as love, really love? The scriptures speak plenty about love. We know that love is not selfish. It doesn't delight in evil. But in 1 John 3:16, we're also given a great truth about love. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. As many in our culture are talking about love, let us share with others the good news of the one who loved us perfectly, Jesus Christ. In the end, his love wins because it ends in resurrection life. You'll see Christ more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit GetAnchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Isaiah says we shall beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall we study war anymore. And I believe that day is definitely coming, that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will bring us prosperity, harmony, but that's not the world we live in yet.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
It's so great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, Rachel McDonough, certified financial planner and certified Kingdom advisor with Wealth Squared. You can learn more at wealthsq.com. We're talking about faith-based investing. That is how you can integrate your Christian values with your investment decisions. And more specifically today, how love that we see clearly throughout Scripture can influence our investment. And Rachel, just before the break, you were talking about what that can look like. And I know you have a practical example of a company in the S&P 500 that we can use perhaps as a case study today. So I'll turn it back over to you.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah, that's right. I think the first step to loving investing is to avoid investments that kill, steal, and destroy. And this may sound very dramatic because we think of investing as very transactional and passive in nature, but let me call out a specific company from the S&P 500. It's MGM Resorts International, and it's a company that owns and operates gambling facilities. And those who have a problem with compulsive gambling may be tempted to continually chase bets that lead to losses, use up savings, and create debt. A very disturbing example of a company that destroys value for humanity and profits from that destruction. And again, I'm sorry to be sort of the bearer of bad news today, but if you are invested in an S&P 500 index fund, which most of us who have a 401k have at least at one point in time had that type of investing. So I'm not here to throw stones or cast judgment, but if you are, you're actually invested in MGM and probably over 100 other companies that really don't align with your Christian values. Now, let me just say, I get it. I know that investing feels impersonal and transactional in nature. It doesn't really feel relational to us, especially if we're investing in an index or really any type of fund investment where there's kind of a wrapper or a basket of securities, and we're not sure what companies are even included in that basket. Now, perhaps some of our listeners know someone who has had an addiction to gambling and can see the face of a specific person, an image bearer whose life was damaged by MGM Resorts International. But the truth is, there are always other humans, other image bearers on the other side of every investment transaction. And we can't always see their faces, but they are there. The customers, the employees, those working in the supply chain, filling orders from the company, those are people worthy of Jesus dying for and worth our loving consideration as we discern how best to invest with excellence.
Wow. Yeah, that's a powerful example. And I'm sure many of our listeners know someone who has struggled with gambling and may have never thought about how their index funds might have exposure to those sorts of companies. Rachel, what options are available then for an investor who wants to take a more intentional and convictions aligned approach to investing that's love based?
Yeah, the exciting news is that there are now currently over 150 faith-oriented investment products or strategies being managed by 19 different asset management firms. So this industry has really grown.
Sure has.
And our firm tracks data on all of them so that we can help our clients select managers and products that best fit with their risk and return targets, their tax planning needs, and also their liquidity income needs and their values. And so there's been a tremendous amount of growth and innovation in this field. There are far more strategies to choose from and more creative ways in which asset managers are integrating biblical love-based principles. So for example, one of our asset management partners who has a fund focused on public companies with faith-driven CEOs, many of whom are actively looking for ways to lead their companies with the love of Jesus. And they're adding things like chaplaincy programs, employee resource groups, offering volunteer time off, and even just improving the lives of hundreds of thousands of employees and millions of customers through the way that they lead their companies.
Wow, it's so exciting to think that we can actually select companies or use faith-based fund families that could select companies that are pursuing CEOs that are operating their businesses in the way you just described. And I'm also thrilled to hear that this space is growing as well. Can you be a little more specific, though, about how our listeners might fit into and become a part of this movement in a really practical way?
Yeah, first of all, I want to give the encouragement that there's a place for every one of you in this movement. You're all invited to the party. Now, the best way to invest with that lens of Christian love will depend on several factors. And of course, only your investment advisor can provide specific advice for your unique circumstances. However, I do want to just give some broad educational information today and walk through a couple of hypothetical scenarios, right? So first of all, let's say you're a smaller investor with $10,000 or less to invest. A single mutual fund or exchange-traded fund may give you enough diversification. You probably could obtain exposure to 40 or more individual stocks. And many of the sponsors of FaithFi, such as Inspire, Praxis, or Eventide, can offer a smaller investor or a do-it-yourself investor access to diversified investments that would align with their values. Next, if you're an investor with, let's say, maybe a $250,000 or more account, there are a few reasonable options available. You could do a portfolio of these faith-based mutual funds or ETFs. You could also try a direct indexing approach. Now, this is different in that it provides investors exposure to a broad market index like the S&P 500, but with values filtering applied. So, for example, investors could remove exposure to gambling as well as pornography, abortion, and other topics that may not align with their principles, and then still have a broadly diversified investment opportunity with low fees and some tax benefits.
Rachel, what about larger accredited investors, those with more than $1 million to invest? What options do they have?
Well, investors who are accredited or qualified purchasers would have access to even more impactful private market investments in addition to the direct indexing or separately managed accounts. So, for example, there's a private debt fund investing in 12 growth stage companies in East Africa, all of which are combating poverty through job creation, using their businesses to share the gospel and disciple employees. And one of them is so special to me. It's a creamery in Rwanda where they intentionally hire those who are deaf or hard of hearing. Wow. So think about how powerful love could be displayed in that type of investment.
Oh, that's so exciting. Well, we have, unfortunately, just about a minute left. Any closing thoughts you'd like to share on this with our listeners, Rachel?
Yeah, I'd love to just read a couple of verses again from 1 Corinthians 13 and think of them as vision casting verses for how we could invest. Love is patient. Love is kind. What if we took a patient approach to our investing? What if we invested in a way that was kind, like the creamery in Rwanda, or even just simply screening out some companies out of the S&P 500? Of course, there are always risks with investing, but employing the law of love can help us to do so in a way that reflects the value that we have for other people who are made in God's image.
Wow, Rachel, that is incredible. Well, you've challenged us today, perhaps lifted our sights and given us a new vision for how we can be investors aligned with the heart of God and our convictions and invest with love as our big idea. We really appreciate you stopping by today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Our guest has been Rachel McDonough, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Kingdom Advisor. You can find out a whole lot more at wealthsq.com. That's wealthsq.com. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Stick around.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God in His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800 326-4543, extension 345.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. So thankful you've chosen to tune in to the broadcast today. And now it's time for your calls and questions. We'd love to hear from you. I'm sure there's maybe multiple things you're thinking about today related to your finances. Let's pick one and talk about it. We'll help you apply biblical wisdom, the principles and big themes we see in God's Word related to our role as stewards of managing His money. And we'll apply those to the practical decisions and choices you're making today. The number to call with a few lines open is 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by and we'd love to hear from you today. All right, let's head to the phones to a first-time caller in Oklahoma. Richard, you'll be first on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Well, hello there.
Hi. Glad to have you.
Hi. Thank you very much. It's nice to talk to somebody about this cost-benefit information on life insurance, or burial insurance, actually. I'm sorry. I'm not a genius, I started paying when I was 61. I'm 65 now, and I have the breakdown. And, eventually at the end of the year of guaranteed cash value, it's at 20 years, it's $2,497. But I was told $5,000, so that's listed under beginning of the year guaranteed death benefit. And it's all Greek to me, so I don't know if you understand all this. I don't need it. I really don't need it. I have the money to bury myself, so I only bought it because they promised a book that assists with wills and stuff, and the guy came to my door. I didn't expect that, and I felt bad. It appeared to me he had traveled cross-country, which I might be wrong about that, so I bought it. But
Yeah. Well, it's final expense insurance is basically, Richard, a small whole life policy that's easy to qualify for. You can use the payout essentially for anything, but the idea is that it's to cover a funeral service and casket or cremation and other expenses related to, burial. The death benefit, of course, is, generally between $2,000 and $35,000, and most funerals range somewhere between $7,000 and $12,000. So given the fact that you have these assets that could really step in and cover this, I think the key for you is perhaps pre-planning more so than having some sort of burial policy. I mean, this is an expense that you just don't need, given what you've already got in place. And I think, this tends to be expensive insurance for the benefit you're actually going to receive from it. So what I would think about is just dropping this policy, letting it go. If there's some cash value, you could go ahead and get that out. There may not be, but this is an expense you can recoup in your budget, and it seems pretty unnecessary to me.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was it. It's just good to hear from somebody who's knowledgeable. And
yeah. Absolutely. Well, I think, when we get to this season of life, we certainly need to be looking at all of our expenses, and life insurance is one of those that really should go away. I mean, if you're using kind of a term policy during your working years to offset that risk that you have of a loss of income for a spouse or a dependent, well, eventually we have enough in savings where we don't need that anymore. And I like to keep our investments separate from our insurance and save outside of an insurance policy and just use pure insurance to truly offset a risk that might exist. In this case, there really isn't one, because if you were to pass away, you have the assets to make sure that loved ones aren't having a burden as a result of your final expenses for the funeral. And through pre-planning and setting those assets aside, everything that they need will be there, and in some cases could even have already been paid for. So I would drop this, recoup this in your budget, and think about where you might apply this otherwise. Thanks for being on the program, though, sir. If we can help you further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. Let's head to Minnesota. Hi, Nathan. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hi. My questions are in regards to saving for a second mortgage or another mortgage. My current mortgage is about $193,000. I do have some PMI on it, about $100 a month until I hit the $179,000 mark. I'm just wondering, I have about $1,000 extra, my wife and I, each month. So I'm wondering if we should put that towards the current mortgage payment or just start saving for our next mortgage, because we're kind of growing out of our house and probably hoping to move in about 2 to 3 years here.
Okay. So you wouldn't be buying a second home. You're just thinking about that next home purchase. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. We sell this one, buy a new one. Yep.
Yeah. And how far away are you from being able to drop that PMI?
Yep. So I'm currently at about $193,000 in my mortgage. And once I get to $179,000, it drops.
Okay, got it. Yeah, and how far away is that next home purchase?
2 to 3 years.
Okay, and do you all have some set aside for this, or would you be taking, you know, all of the equity out of this home, even for the down payment on the next one? You know, are you going to have a contingency on the sale of this home in order to be able to buy the next one?
Right, most likely. We have about $8,000 now that I would also do whatever I want with, or either put it in or else, or online savings account, and then $1,000 a month moving forward we would have to put towards either this or something else. Yep.
Very good. Yep. So what I would do is probably go ahead and start saving, not outside of the mortgage, but taking that extra $1,000 a month and just apply that directly to your current first mortgage. Let's try to pay that down as quick as you can. First of all, to get rid of that PMI, that's just an unnecessary expense that's not doing you any good. So if we can drop that, that adds an extra $100+ a month back into, you know, your budget, which allows you to perhaps further increase your savings. At that point, you could choose to begin saving outside of it. If, though, it's going to require you to put a contingency on the home sale anyway, there's not really a whole lot of benefit of continuing to save outside of it. As long as you've got a fully funded emergency fund, you're giving at the level that you're happy with, you're saving for retirement at 10 to 15% of your income, then I would say just continue to accelerate that mortgage payoff, and then all of that equity will just roll over into the next house and keep that mortgage as low as possible. Does that make sense?
Yep, it does.
Okay. So that'd be the direction I go. Sounds like you guys are making a lot of great decisions, heading in the right direction here. And I know you'll be excited to get that next home. Hopefully, interest rates will be a little more favorable when you're ready to make that purchase. Thanks for your call today, sir. We appreciate it. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
God has entrusted His finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You've probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18 to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, coming up in our final segment today, our good friend Jerry Boyer stops by, a resident economist. A lot to talk about with Jerry. Not only the Fed decision this week and the markets that have been increasing. In fact, we saw the S&P 500 have its best week of the year yet. We'll talk about that. Plus, Jerry's been really active in some corporate engagement as of late, participating this week in the Target annual meeting. Also, Yelp and Vimeo. He'll give us a download on his conversations with those corporations through the shareholder meeting and his active corporate engagement and participation. A lot to come. You will not want to miss that conversation coming up a little later in our broadcast. In the meantime, we're taking your calls and questions on anything financial, whatever you're thinking about today in your financial life. We'd love to talk about it with you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's head to West Virginia. Hi, Linda. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
And I enjoy listening to you. I listened to Dan Celia for years.
Oh, wow. And, well, I appreciate that. I didn't have the privilege of knowing Dan, but I know his reputation is stellar. And boy, there's so many people that just so appreciated and continue to appreciate his ministry, especially here at American Family Radio. So thank you for mentioning that.
Yes. Just briefly, my husband and I are 80 and 81, and we've not been big investors. In fact, we pay little attention to we trust our advisor, and, you know, we put our money there. He'll call us from time to time and say, I've got this or that. What do you think?
Yeah.
We live on what we get from my husband's retirement and my Social Security, and we're comfortable. So I guess that's why we don't worry too much.
Yes, ma'am.
About where I'm investing. So I have for a long time have wanted to maybe approach our advisor and say we want to be more conscientious about where our money is being put. And I don't know if he is a Christian. I don't know whether he would even know where to put our money. So if we were to approach him, I know Dan Celia would talk a lot about the Timothy Fund in terms of mutual funds.
Yes.
And but what else might be out there that we could say to him, we'd like for our money to go here instead of where it is now? And also, we're coming into some money through a land lease, which we'll be receiving within the next 6 months. And we'll want to do something with that as well.
Yeah, very good. Well, first of all, Linda, I'm delighted to hear you thinking about this. You know, more and more believers, when presented with this opportunity to align their values as believers with their deployment of capital through their investing, are really excited about that opportunity. And there are more opportunities than ever to do that this now with some world-class investment managers and mutual funds that have a specific mandate around faith-based investing, avoiding companies that are misaligned with Christian values, embracing companies that are intentionally seeking to be a blessing to mankind, and even pursuing a kingdom impact. There are others that are doing corporate engagement, where as an owner of a company, you're able to express your values, or they'll do it on your behalf, making sure that Christian values are promoted to corporate leadership. So this is an exciting and growing opportunity that exists now for investors. And I love that you're thinking about this. You mentioned Dan and his reference to Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is a wonderful fund family doing some incredible work in this area of faith-based investing. And I know the leadership there very well and can highly recommend them. There are a growing number of investments, though. So fund families like Eventide, Lightpoint Portfolios, One Ascent, and others are doing some incredible work in this space. So I think you're right. I think the starting point is to talk to your advisor about this. And there's a good chance, Linda, that he, especially if you don't know if he's a believer, there's a good chance he is not active in this area. And if you wanted to do it, you may need to make a change. The good news is more and more advisors are offering these types of investments. We recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. It's really the only designation in financial services that's widely accepted across all of the major firms. And it's for those advisors, men and women, who've met high standards in character and competence. They've had a pastor reference and a client reference. They've signed a statement of faith and a code of ethics. They've been trained to bring biblically wise financial advice. They've had a regulatory review. I mean, it's a high bar to achieve the CKA, and there's 1,300 of them across the country now. Many of them offer faith-based investing, but not all. Now, we're actually enhancing our CKA search in the coming months, and you will be able to select or be provided a list of CKAs that are limited to only those that do faith-based investing. That's not available today, so you would still need to ask that question as you interview. But what I would do is head to our website at faithfi.com, that's faithfi.com, and then click Find a CKA, and you can do a zip code search there in West Virginia for you and your husband to perhaps interview two or three. As a part of that interview, again, ask whether they do faith-based investing. And if this is not available with your current advisor, then at that point you could prayerfully consider a switch.
Did you say that was faith, faithfi.com?
Yes, ma'am. That's right. Faithfi.com. And then right there at the top of the page, you'll see a button that says Find a CKA, and you can do a city or a zip code search.
Okay. Thank you. That's very helpful. One more quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
Came to my mind while I was waiting for you.
Sure.
We've never tithed the proceeds from our investments. What is your take on that?
Yeah, I love that idea, Linda. So you've got to, you know, especially in retirement, this can be a little more challenging if you want to apply the principle of the tithe to your increase. It's easy to calculate when we're talking about wages or a paycheck or an inheritance, because it's all increase. When we get into retirement, we've got a couple of other scenarios. So we might have Social Security. Well, a part of that is a return of what you've already paid in. You might have a distribution coming out of a retirement account. Well, you've contributed to that, and now you're taking a portion of your contributions alongside the gains every time you take a withdrawal. So you've got to decide on the front end, how do I want to approach this? One approach, which would be the simplest approach, is just to say everything I have is a gracious gift from the Lord. And even if I've already tithed on some of this money going in that I'm now getting back as Social Security or as a distribution from my retirement account, I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, give a tenth as unto the Lord on that, recognizing his ownership. And this is an act of worship, and you're doing it with a cheerful heart. The other approach, which I don't think is wrong, it's just a little more complicated, would be to say, okay, I want to determine what were my total contributions to my investment accounts. And then I want to see whatever is in addition to that that's in there. I'm going to count that as gains and perhaps establish a percentage. So you might say, well, you know, 40% of my retirement account is my contribution. 60% represents the gains that I had and the growth of the investments. So every time I take a distribution, I'm going to tithe on 60%. That would be another way to go. I don't want to make it legalistic. We still want to do it with the right heart posture, but that would be one way to calculate it. Does that make sense, though?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're
very
welcome.
Much.
If it's just straight investments where you put it in and you have the growth, then what you would do is every time you sell an investment or maybe at tax time every year, just calculate your total gains, which would be the taxable portion of your investments, and that would give you the amount that you would tithe on. I hope that's helpful to you. Thanks for being on the program today. Much more to come on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at AFR.net.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Coming up in just a moment, we'll hear from Jerry Boyer. Among other things, Jerry will give us an update on his participation this week in the Target annual meeting. We'll be interested to hear what Jerry has to say about that. But first, to the phones. Mississippi, Kathy, you've been waiting patiently. How can I help you?
Yes. I have a quick call. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Yes,
I used
ma'am.
To listen to Dan Seeley. He's amazing. But you are, too.
Well, you're thank you. And I, from everything I know, I would wholeheartedly agree. So thank you for that.
Yes. And I listened to the guy before you, Larry Burkett.
Yes, ma'am.
I used to listen to him.
But I'll anyway, tell you, it's amazing. I appreciate you mentioning Larry as well. There's not a week that goes by, and Larry died in 2003, that somebody doesn't mention Larry's name. So I walk in the shoes of giants, Kathy, between Dan and Larry. There's no doubt about that. But anyway, go ahead with your question.
Okay, my question is, I was listening to a program you had earlier. Anyways, a man had called in. He had sold a rental property. And he wanted to give money to his church.
Yes, ma'am.
And you told him a place to put the funds before that could be taxed.
Yes.
It was NCF or something, or I don't remember.
That's right. The key, though, is you've got to put it in. It was a donor-advised fund that I was talking about, what NCF calls a giving fund. But it's the same thing. It's just their name for it. But you've got to put the asset in. In this case, we're talking about real estate. And by the way, you don't have to put the whole piece of property in there. You could put a percentage of it. But it has to go into the donor-advised fund or giving fund prior to the sale. And then once you do that, once it's sold, the percentage that was in the donor advised fund would not be subject to capital gains tax and then could be directed or advised through the donor advised fund to be given away to a church or charity of your choice.
Right. So what's that website?
Yes, ma'am. It's ncfgiving.com. NCF is National Christian Foundation, ncfgiving.com. And you would see some information there about setting up a giving fund. That's what you'd want to do. And a giving fund can hold cash. It can hold stocks and bonds. It can hold real estate or art or a farm or whatever you want it to hold. And then as that asset is liquidated, there are tax benefits. And then you would advise the donor advised fund sponsor, which in this case would be the National Christian Foundation, as to where you want it to go, and basically any IRS-approved 501c3 charity, or you know, including your church, would be an appropriate destination.
Okay, so if I sell the rental property, before I get the proceeds, I've got to sign up for this and put part of the money into this to
not quite
it.
Yeah, let me clarify on that. You would actually put a portion of this property into the donor advised fund, and they could help you with that prior to the sale. So you can't sell and then put it in. You've got to actually, you would essentially gift a portion of this property at whatever percentage you want into your donor advised fund prior to you selling it. And that's what allows you to not pay the capital gains on it.
So a part of the money, or how would I put a part of
it? No, you'd essentially, you'd gift a portion of it through the title. You'd give a portion of this property and title it in the name of the donor advised fund. So they could tell you how to do it. It's not terribly complicated, but essentially you'd be giving away a portion of the property to your donor advised fund prior to the sale. And so you would own a percentage of it, and your donor advised fund would own a percentage of this property. And then when you sell it, the portion that's owned by the donor advised fund would not be subject to capital gains.
So actually, I'm transferring part of the property.
Correct.
Okay. But I was,
yes, ma'am.
Did they have a phone number? Or?
Oh, yeah. You'll find it all on the website. Do you have access to the internet?
Yes, ncfgiving.com.
Okay, so, yes,
right?
Ma'am. You'll find the toll-free number there, and they can get you on the phone with somebody that would give you everything that you need.
Okay, so the key is to title the property.
Yeah, so they're going to talk to you about how you gift a portion of your real estate to your donor advised fund prior to the sale, so that when you sell it, it's not subject to capital gains, and the proceeds equal to the portion that was put into the name of the donor advised fund would actually then fund the account, and then you would advise NCF, the sponsor, as to where to give that at whatever point you wanted to in the future.
And a real estate lawyer would know how to do that before closing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But okay. You would want to talk to the folks at NCF before you go to closing as well, just to make sure that they're in the loop and they would work with your attorney as well.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Absolutely, Kathy. Thanks for your call today. Let's head before we go back to the phones, Jerry Boyer's waiting patiently. He joins us each Friday with his market commentary and analysis. Boy, Jerry, it's been a busy week on a number of fronts. Where do you want to start?
I don't know. I mean, this is annual shareholder meeting season. So I've done about 100 of these in the past 3 months. I log on. I'm not traveling around the country because they're almost all online.
Yes.
But interestingly, Target wasn't online. It was in person only, which was kind of odd because they've been online like everybody else. And most of these companies are online. And they had their meeting in Austin, and they're not a Texas-based company. So there was a lot of strangeness about the Target meeting. I talked to someone who's done more of these than I have, an acquaintance who's done 1,000 proposals. And he said, well, we call those foxhole meetings. Mm-hmm. When a company goes to Texas, when they're not headquartered in Texas, that tends to discourage a lot of shareholders. They might be around Chicago or New York or San Francisco on the coast. It's a little harder to get to in many cases. And so if you're like trying to fend off a takeover or something like that, they tend to go to Texas. And I also think it's interesting, Austin, because Austin's known as kind of the liberal city in Texas. So those who are near there are more likely to be aligned with the current, you know, direction of Target. But by not having this meeting online, what that means is it's going to favor either people who work for Target Company, because they go to the annual meeting, and I mean like executives, like so people, loyalists, or people who own stocks and live around Austin, or activists who are paid by foundations to go. But the mom and pop, the retail investor, the people who are listening right now, they're probably not going to, you know, fly to Austin to go to the annual meeting.
Right.
So it's a way of basically hiding from their own shareholders. That's how it read to me. Because it's a company under fire. I can tell you I've had extensive conversations with this company over the past 2.5 years, and they have gone silent in siege mentality, not responding to anything. They're not responding, you know, if I call the press office, you know, with the hotline, quick turnaround, I'm still waiting, you know, from last week. So this is a company under siege. It's their own doing, of course. But I was able to get the voting returns. And interestingly, the two board members who got the lowest vote support are the CEO, who, you know, you would think, you know, that would, he's the one known, right? CEOs are better known than other board members.
Right.
And there's an independent director who is highly ideological. She doesn't have a business background. She has a journalism and academia background and is, you know, someone who's a person of the left, who's on a lot of these boards of companies that people would call woke. That's not a word I use, but people know what I mean. She got the second worst vote support. So now, the vote support is always high for board members. But this seems to be like a little bit of wavering confidence. And the other thing is there was a 32% support, which is high for a shareholder proposal from a guy with no funding whatsoever, just a guy doing it on his own to separate the board chairman role from CEO. Mm-hmm. And in the case of Target, the CEO is the chairman. He is his own boss. Wow. Remember the song, I Am My Own Grandpa?
Right.
He's his own boss. That's a lot of power. He wants to stay on past retirement age. That's unusual. And it seems like at least some people are saying, wait a minute, you know, why should you get these special privileges when you've destroyed double-digit billions in shareholder value by the direction you've gone by pandering to these ideological interest groups?
Interesting. Well, Jerry, I know you do a lot of work in looking at board and governance issues with respect to whether or not it makes sense to invest in a particular company. How out of the norm is this that the chairman would also be the CEO?
It's not super out of the norm. It's a little less than a majority of companies, and the trend has very much been in the direction of separating the board and CEO role. So what I would say is, you know, there's this idea ESG, environmental, social, governance, investing. The governance of the governance, generally wants to separate these roles. So companies that are pushing to the left and trying to be ESG should be ahead of the curve, not behind the curve. Yeah. On good governance, right? That's part of, there is a G in ESG. So I'd say they're behind the curve, but you know, the majority of companies separate the roles, but it's a small majority, but the trend is in the other direction. What I would say is that should be, if you have it at all, it should be a reward for a CEO who doesn't need extra kind of adult supervision, but this CEO has made some pretty bad decisions. So I don't think he ought to be his own supervisor anymore.
Jerry, will there be minutes that will be publicly available to see whether this has come up in the conversation during the meeting?
I'll keep calling the media hotline for the quick turnaround and see if we can get a recording or minutes. But so far, I haven't been able to get an answer.
All right. Well, Jerry, we've obviously just scratched the surface. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We'll have you back real soon and pick up on this red hot stock market, Fed action, and other corporate meetings that you've been involved in. Thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer, our resident economist. Unfortunately, we could fill up the entire show every day talking to Jerry. He has so much to say that's so insightful, and I always appreciate his perspective. Gene, I apologize we didn't get to your call. Let's try to get you on Monday. Thank you for being on the program today, or for at least calling. We'd love to have you back. Thanks for joining us today, folks. I'm grateful for my team, Jim, Devin, and Robert. Couldn't do it without them. Have a wonderful weekend, and come back and join us on Monday on Faith and Finance. So American Family Radio. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.